This morning's subject, as we wrap up the five love languages, is physical touch. And somebody said this is going to be kind of a touchy subject. So some have been nervous. Some didn't show up this morning. I ain't coming. But these are some very, very practical things that are important in learning how to communicate love. Five different love languages. And I hope over this last month that you've been able to kind of figure out where you are in relationship to what your love language is. One person told me this morning that they enjoy quality time, but they like it by themselves. They don't want anybody interfering. Their quality time doesn't pertain to somebody else being in their presence. They just like it the way that it is by themselves. But we've talked about words of affirmation. Do words affirm you and say things to you that really minister to you? Do you love it when somebody just comes up and says, "Hey, you look nice today," or "I really appreciate"? And there again, this is not just for the husband and wife relationship. This works with your children, parent to child, family members, even putting some of these things into practice in the workplace. Because from a very, very practical standpoint, you find out what really people enjoy and what ministers to them. And those are things that you can use to win their heart. And just as we heard this morning, so beautifully done, that God gives you that platform, that avenue to be able to share Christ with them. And so there's words of affirmation, there's quality time, there's gift giving. Most of the people that I know that have the love language of gift giving, they not only love to receive, but they love to give. And they work out of that gift in ministering to people. And that brings joy to their heart. Then there's acts of service. I brought the vacuum cleaner out a few weeks ago and rode that thing around on the platform a little bit. I said later, if somebody could get a seat on one of those things, you could make yourself a lot of money. But just doing things, whether it's around the house or serving your neighbor or somebody in your home, just doing something to minister. Maybe, you know, cleaning the bathroom. No, everybody hates to clean the bathroom. And there's only one way to clean that thing. And like a man said, just hug it. That's the only way to get it clean, is just get in there and put your arms around it. But acts of service and doing those practical things. Now, for some, that means something. For some, it doesn't mean anything. But you've got to find out where your niche is. And if you're going to speak a particular language of love to your mate, to your children, you're going to know what it is. We speak in languages sometimes and assume that our mate is really thrilled. And then we wonder why they're not thrilled, because you're not speaking a language that they understand. And so today we're going to wrap it up and we're talking about physical touch. You know, out of the five senses, touch is the only one that can alter somebody else's life, that can minister to somebody else just by utilizing that sense that God's given to you. Some of you in this room, you've gone through difficult times and hard times, and just somebody coming up and laying their hand on you has meant something. It's comforting. I've experienced that as a pastor, just to walk up and put my hand on somebody's shoulder. Not to do it in a odd way, but just comforting, or putting your arm around somebody and just being there to touch them. I remember we were in South Africa. One thing that really humbled my heart was the way that the people that where we stayed for 7 days, how they ministered to you when they would greet you. And they made you feel like you were $1 million. It was such a sense of honor that they bestowed on you. Even when they would shake your hand, they would grab their wrist and they would take your hand and they would bow in front of you. And when they would take your hand, it was just like a sense of, you know, appreciation for you and honoring you. As whether we're American, I don't know if that's what it was. I don't know what the difference was, but it was just such a sense of honor and that they were bestowing on you, that it was almost like they put themselves on a different plane than what you were. You know, some people, their hearts are hurting because nobody touches them. Nobody has anything to do with you. Three basic things I want to share with you this morning. In understanding that physical touch is a foundation element of human development in a culture. And you look at the ministry of Jesus, and Jesus touched people. He touched a lot of people. He would physically lay his hand on them. We look in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 through 15. The scripture says, "Then were there brought unto him little children that should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Look at verse 15. "And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." In other words, when he laid his hand on them, he placed his hand on them and he prayed for them. Sometimes just taking somebody by the shoulder, taking an elbow, putting your hand on their hand. A lot of times when I shake people's hands, I not only shake their hand, but I put my hand over top of that. I want them to know that in my heart that I care for them, that I love them, that I'm thankful for the opportunity just to be able to meet them and to be in their presence. I want there something be something conveyed to them in just that physical touch that means something to them, because that ministers to people. Father, we thank you today for the example of yourself and the Word. Lord, I truly believe that you, as our Heavenly Father, are the kind of God that would touch people. It's proven out in the very character and the nature of Christ himself that many, many times over and over again, he would place his hands upon people. Moses did that. Paul did that. Many godly people in the scriptures would place their hand upon somebody and pray for them. And so physical touch is important in this world, and it is a love language that communicates much to many people. Some people, it doesn't mean anything to them. They'd rather not be touched. But Father, I pray that you would convey to our hearts in the importance. The world has corrupted this issue, Lord, to the point that many times when we think about physical touch, all we think about is sex. But it's far greater than that. And so I'm praying this morning that we would approach this time with an open heart and asking you to do something for us that only you can. There are people in this room that are lonely. There are people in this room that have the love language of physical touch. And they feel deprived. They feel rejected. They feel hurt. But I pray this morning that you would minister. I pray for husbands and wives that you would give them a sensitivity to all the love languages and help them to find out which one really conveys a sense of acceptance and communicates a message of love. And so, Lord, we pray especially for people in this room that have never been saved. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge that has come from Brother David this morning and the beautiful song they sang that challenged us just to get out and reach somebody for the cause of Christ. Lord, I pray for that individual or individuals here today that need you. May this be the day that they give their heart and their life to you. May they be convicted over the fact that they don't know where they're going to spend eternity in a life filled with sin and disobedience. And maybe they're guilt-ridden and feel condemned to know that there's liberty, there's freedom at the cross. That God, we can come to you and trust you and believe you to do for us that which only you can in salvation. And so we pray this morning you'd have your will and your way. And we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, physical touch communicates a message. What kind of message does it communicate? First of all, a positive message. Somebody said a person that has the love language of physical touch, they say to touch my body is to touch me. To withdraw from my body is to distance yourself from me and even to reject me. The possibility of somebody, as I said a minute ago, somebody sitting in this room today and you feel that people don't care for you. You feel a sense of rejection, whether it be from your mate or your children or whatever. But there's a deficiency in your life because nobody ever touches you. And that's your love language. God has given that to you and I to communicate love and affection. Wise parents in any culture are the type of parents that touch their children. Why do you think Jesus took those little kids in his arms and held them up to him? Man, I don't ever turn down the hug of a little child. Never do that. Because I want them to know, hey, my pastor loves me. And he will hug me when nobody else will hug me. And so it's a way to communicate love and affection. Research has proven that babies that are held and hugged and kissed develop a healthier emotional life than those that are left with long periods of time with no physical touch. And some of you might say, well, preacher, I'm not a toucher. Well, learn to be. My father-in-law, whenever you try to hug him, it was like hugging a telephone pole. It was like, and the stiffer he got, the more I poured it on. And I never did kiss him on the cheek. I thought about it a couple times, but I'm scared he'd smack me or something. But it communicates a positive message. When babies and children are deprived of touch, their brain development many times is impaired, which can destroy the growth of social abilities and result in even lower intelligence. Now, oh, yeah, sure. But listen, friends, there's something important. Well, how do you know that? Because it was important to Jesus. The disciples were saying, hey, no, y'all get away. Don't trouble him with this. And what did he say? He rebuked them and said, let those little kids come to me. Secondly, it communicates care and concern. A lady had been involved in an accident in her workplace, and an explosion had taken place. She had burns over the major part of her body and lacerations. And she said, well, she was laying in that emergency room on the table and they were working with her, that one of the things that she wanted more than anything is for her husband just to come over and take her by the hand, just to hold her hand. And she said, he wouldn't come to me. And she said, the thing that went through my heart is not everything they were doing to my physical body, but I felt this sense of rejection because he wouldn't take my hand. I remember sometime after my dad died, I remember my mother saying, you know, I just wish that sometimes I could reach over and feel him just to have him there. That meant something to her. That was a physical thing that she went through that brought pain to her life because she couldn't just reach over and touch her husband. What does touching mean to you? Are you repulsed by it? Do you not want anybody putting their hands on you or doing any form? You know, some people are just like that. But be careful with that. Because it could be that there's something there that is a block in your life. Listen, God can help you with that. Because God desires to use us to minister to people. There's care and concern. There's congratulations. We do the handshake thing all the time. You know, somebody comes up and, hey, great, congratulations, you got a new grandbaby. Amen, that's a blessing. You meet somebody, first thing, put a hand out. But what does it communicate when somebody puts a hand out and the other person won't do that? And they look at your hand and they back up. What's being communicated? Are they mad? Are they upset? Are they scared of catching some kind of germs? God knows we do a lot of knuckle bumping around here now. But we have to understand that physical touch is important, and it communicates to an individual that maybe a sense of openness and a social acceptance that goes beyond nationalities and many, many borders. There's a positive message, but secondly, there's a negative message. You remember Matthew chapter 18. The servant had been forgiven of, I think, $47 million, I believe, somewhere in that neighborhood. And the master set him free. You don't pay that debt. And he left the presence of his master and went out and found one of his friends that owed him $47. And the Bible says in Matthew 18 that he took him by the throat. And he said, I want my money. And he threw him in jail. He threatened his life because he wouldn't give him that small amount. Some of you possibly were abused when you were growing up, and for physical touch, it brings back horrors, the memories of things that you went through. For you, physical touch has not been a good thing. It wasn't like somebody coming up and hugging you as a little child and ministering to your heart and kissing on you and loving on you, but you were abused and mistreated. And so that constantly comes crashing to your mind when you talk about physical touch. It communicates a message, but secondly, physical touch meets an inward need. It makes you feel loved. Physical touch is a powerful communicator of love. A person that has this love language and is not being touched is caused to withdraw. One husband said, "My wife didn't touch me for 2 months. And all I could think about was, what have I done to make her mad?" She was going through things herself, but because she wouldn't touch him, he felt rejected. He even had to fight through bitterness and resentment. Are you bitter and resentful over the fact that your mate never touches you? Are you bitter and resentful over the fact that knowing that that means so much to you and that's been communicated, that they never try to communicate that love language to you? And that's a ground for the enemy to try to create a level of resentment and rejection in your heart. Physical touch or the lack of can make or break a relationship. Secondly, it causes emotional stability. Physical touch causes a person to feel secure. If this is your love language, the greatest thing that can happen to you in a time of crisis for somebody, and men, listen to this. I've had women tell me that they would rather for their husband to put their arms around them and hug them and hold them in times of crisis or just in general. I've even had women tell me that they would rather a husband do that than even some of the physical activity that takes place. Now, in a man's mind, I don't understand that. But there again, we run on two total different emotional levels. And so it is something that helps to not only communicate love, but it causes emotional stability. Touch is an essential human need. Jesus touched on many different occasions. Many people were cured of various infirmities and restored life to the dead. He touched a leper in Mark 1. He touched Simon's feverish mother-in-law in Matthew chapter 8. Many, many sick people did he touch. Mark 6, Luke 4, two different children that had passed away in Mark chapter 5, Luke 7. A blind man in Mark 9, Matthew 9. John 9, a deaf and a mute man and a servant with a severed ear. Many, many people were touched. A lady was healed of a blood disease because she touched the hem of his garment. And over again, that powerful force that God has and you and I have in being able to touch somebody and minister to them. Why do we have such an aversion to it? And I think there's such a sense of distortion in our community that, you know, I'll be tried for sexual harassment. And I think you do need to be careful. Those are things that are serious. Those are serious accusations that have destroyed many, many people. And I'm talking about in the relationship between a husband and wife and with children. We need to understand the importance of that and understanding the beauty of being able to communicate love on a level that really ministers to a person's heart. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter into that place." In verse 16, he took them up in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. Why did Jesus do that? Did he want them to feel a sense of emotional stability? Was he doing that to deepen a relationship with those little children? You think that so many times in the scriptures we're challenged to be like the little child, that we're to have the faith of a child. We're to live in the sense of sensibility that a child lives in. that level of trust. Hey, kids run about their daily, they don't worry themselves to death over food. They don't worry about their clothes. They don't do like we do as adults. And I think there's something beautiful that God wants in that symbolism of transference in our life, that God is doing such a deep work and desires to do that just by you and I learning something about the importance of physical touch. Laying on hands is symbolic of a blessing. There are many, many times when I pray for people that God will bless them, that I'll put my hand on their shoulder. When we pray over people, when we anoint them with oil, I put a little bit of oil on the end of my finger and I place my hand on their forehead and I pray for them. It's nothing strange and weird. All through the scriptures did God use that. I think about Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And that physical touch and the transference of blessing and spirit, a spirit of wisdom in the book of Acts, as people were touched by Paul, others, that they were full of the Holy Ghost, greatly used of the Lord. Numbers 27, 23, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded him by the hand of Moses. Mark 5, 23, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. John 21, when that beloved disciple leaned back and laid upon the chest of Jesus himself. Was that weird? Or was there something that was taking place there as a communication of love and appreciation for another man, that he felt that comfort just to be able to lay back on him and feel his presence? Listen, I've had grown men fall into my arms in a sense in a time of tragedy and crisis because they needed to be comforted. Some of them so big I can't get my arms around them. But there's sometimes, even in a man's life, when certain situations arise, that sometimes a man needs another man to take him in his arms and hold him. Now, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm not gay. I don't mind hugging. I ain't going to kiss him. You can rest assured I ain't going to do that. But sometimes in our tough old world, we just need somebody to say, hey, I love you and I care for you. And I want to minister to you. Husbands, do your wives have the gift, and her love language is physical touch? You ever ride down the road sometime and you just reach over, and you take the initiative to reach over and take her hand? You ever just walk up to her sometimes and take her in your arms and hold her? You ever do that with your children, no matter what their age is? You just walk up to them and take them in your arms and hug them? My boys know that's going to happen. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry. If you don't like it, that's tough. That's your problem, not mine. That's my love language. And I'm going to touch people. You might walk through that line one Sunday morning and I can sense your heart hurting and I might reach up and touch your shoulder and take your hand and just look into your eyes and say, hey, I want you to know something. I'm praying for you because I'm trying to communicate something. And that's my love language, and I don't know what yours is, but I can tell you this. In the times of crisis in my life, when somebody has come along and put their hand on my shoulder and look me in my eyes and say, preacher, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I never will forget the morning, that Sunday morning after my mama died on Saturday. And I walked in that door over there, and I saw Jetty Burgess on this side over here. When I walked in that door, she turned to look to me, and I walked across, and Jetty just held out her arms, and she took me in her arms, and she held me. And I can't tell you how that ministered to my heart. Physical touch is important to those that's your love language. And learn who likes it and who don't. There's some people, I'm not going to put my hand on your shoulder because I already know you don't want my hand on your shoulder. The last time I went down to see L.J. Friday, and also went down a couple days after surgery, and And LJ, you know, he's a typical man, you know, not a whole lot of touchy-feely, especially from another man. He don't get into it, and that's all right. And so we walked in LJ's room, and I reached over, and I put my hand down on his forearm, and I just held it there. I noticed LJ kept looking down at it like that. I got tickled, and I'm like, let go of it, man. He don't like this. He's getting all squirrely and feeling uncomfortable. Let him go. But I was trying to minister to him. And it's that way of transference to say, hey, I care. But not only from a positive standpoint, but sometimes it's a way to transfer a curse. Because if you study demonology, you recognize that that's many ways that the transference of evil spirits can be conveyed to someone else. I learned a long time ago when somebody goes to pray for you and to lay hands on you, especially if I don't know them, what I'm praying under my breath is, God, if this is not of you and the enemy's trying to get something into me, then I ask you right now to block that in Jesus' name. I had a friend of mine, he played basketball in high school, and his coach came in one day and came to his locker. He was sitting there, and he came and put both hands on his shoulder, and he said, Charlie, I want to pray for you. And he bowed his head and he began to pray. And Charlie said, I felt something go all over my body. He found out a week and a half later that that man was a warlock and that he was praying a curse on him. There are many, many stories. One lady, a psychic surgeon, said a strange shock ran through my body when his hands touched me. Over and over again, how the enemy, even in the scriptures, that we can rest assured that if God uses it in a positive way, the enemy's always going to counterfeit that in such a way for his advancement of his kingdom. A young man told one time, three black magicians laid their hands on his head and murmured some magic charms over him. And afterwards, he possessed a magic ability that astonished people and even himself in his ability to be able to do things that were not human-like. So not only being able to transfer Holy Spirit and godly things to a person, but also a means of being able to do that as a curse. 1 John 5:18 said, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. You don't think touch is important in the spiritual realm? If it's important in the spiritual realm, shouldn't it be important to you and I? Now, sometimes you got to ask some tough questions. Sometimes you, and as a husband and a wife, you got to sit down and you got to be able to communicate on some levels and discuss some things many times that are difficult. But for the betterment of your marriage, learn to do that. And if that matters to you, it should matter to your mate. I've had people ask me, you know, well, she likes this, but I don't like that. I said, listen, if it ministers to her and it's good for her, then just get over it. Just go do it anyway. And you'll learn to like it. And if you don't, so what? She's going to enjoy it. Or vice versa. There are men in this room that are fighting rejection and bitterness this very moment because my wife will not have anything to do with me. She never touches me. She goes to bed at night and all I get is, good night, when I would really rather her to come over and kiss me. Which one means the most to you? Now, I hope that's helpful to some of you in this room. You're going to have to sit down and have that conversation and say, listen, on the basis of whatever my love language is, I need to communicate this to you, and I want to be honest with you. Don't let things continue to fester in your relationship and drive that deep, deep wedge in between the two of you that the enemy wants to do it. If your love language is words of affirmation, sir, learn how to affirm her in the things that you say to her. And I'll say this, whatever it took to win her heart, you're going to have to continue to do that to keep her heart. If it's the acts of service, run that vacuum cleaner to death. Amen. Do whatever needs, wash dishes, clean the toilets. Do whatever you have to do to say, honey, bunny, I want you to know something, I care for you. If your husband's love language is acts of service, wash his vehicle. Get the grass cut. Do something just to serve him. If it's quality time, spend that time with each other. Minister to each other on that level. Gift giving. Give and give and give and give and give. And if it's physical touch, then learn to utilize that to your advantage, to minister to one to another on the level of love. With heads bowed and eyes closed, it's very evident that God loves us. He proved that on the cross of Calvary when he let his son suffer and bleed and die. He did that all for you. Do you know for sure that heaven's going to be your home someday? See, preacher, I know as well as I'm sitting on this pew that if I were to take my last breath in the next 5 seconds, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, and I'm assured of that. Is there a question mark? Do you have a concern about that? And week after week after week, you think about it. Different times throughout the week, you think about the fact that you don't know where you're going when you die. And Jesus has a gift of eternal life that he wants to give to you. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to make you take it, but all you have to do is be willing to receive it. He's done everything he can do. And the rest is up to you. The scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's that simple. That you're willing to come to the place and admit that you're a sinner and you desperately need him. And you ask him to come into your heart and life and to forgive you of your sin and give you that gift of eternal life. And friends, a prayer doesn't save you, but the person of Jesus saves you. And the prayer is nothing more than an avenue to get to him. Do you need Christ this morning? Are there people in here today that your heart's hurting? That there's a deficiency in your life? Because nobody touches you, and that's your love language, and you battle bitterness and resentment and rejection constantly, day in, day out, and you think nobody cares for you. Are the people here this morning that God spoke into your heart that you need to learn to touch people, not in a wrong way, but just in a level of being able to communicate on a level that really speaks in such a way that they understand love, whether it's your mate, your children, your family member. I don't know what the need is, but I can tell you this, God can meet those needs. As the invitation starts and they begin to sing, if God spoke to your heart, you need to slip to the altar. It's available. We'd love to have the privilege to be able to pray with you and pray for you. And I don't know what your need is today, but I know that God already knows. Father, I thank you today for the fact that you avail yourself to us constantly. And you're always there. You're always ever present. God, you desire change in the inward man. You desire for us to be conformed more to the image of your dear Son. And I pray that you'll help us in this moment to do what needs to be done so when tomorrow comes, there will be no regrets. And we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your great love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.